Thanksgiving has always held a very special place in my heart. It rekindles the sort of God-centered gratitude that our Lord demands and deserves. And every one of us this week ought to focus on the goodness of God, and our hearts should be filled with gratitude to Him. But the fact of the matter is that gratitude, like many other areas of the Christian life, is really a choice. It's something that we choose to be, that is, to be grateful. In the Christian life, oftentimes, our attitude is a choice. And everything we do in life begins with an attitude, but we must choose to have the right attitude, the right spirit. Forgiveness is a choice, and gratitude is a choice. And sometimes, whether intentionally or not, we can get into a rut of complaining, being unthankful, focusing on what isn't going right. Reminds me of the comic I saw years ago on Charlie Brown, and how that he came out one Thanksgiving morning and he gave to Snoopy a bowl of food. Snoopy went over and looked at the food and said, "Here it is, Thanksgiving Day, and all I have in my bowl is just regular old dog food. Everybody else is getting turkey and stuffings and all these different kinds of food, and I'm just getting regular old dog food. And it's because I'm a dog. That's why I'm getting this dog food." And Snoopy was having a tough go of it. He stared at that dog food for a moment and he thought about it. And finally he stopped and he said, "Well, I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey." Folks, I don't know about you, but the longer I live, the more I learn that it could be worse. And there's always something to be thankful to the Lord for. Now, of all the men in the Bible who could have complained, of all the men in the Bible who could have had a bad, stinking, rotten attitude, of all the men in the Bible who could have been bitter at Christians and unsaved alike, I think the Apostle Paul had a lot of excuses and could have been a very bitter man. And yet, despite his trials, Paul decided to be grateful. He made a decision that he would give thanks unto the Lord. Now, let's just take a quick minute and put these trials of Paul the Apostle into perspective, shall we? Look in your notes this morning or turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. And let's just get a quick overview of what Paul experienced in his life. I think when you see this, you're going to appreciate the message today, deciding to be thankful just a little bit more. In 2 Corinthians 11, 23, Paul says, "Are they ministers of Christ?" And then he says, "I speak as a fool." In other words, he's about to tell about some of his personal experiences and his desire to be faithfulness. He says, "This is going to be a little foolish, but bear with me. I want to give you a point about gratitude." And notice what he says. He says, "I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." Now, this is his testimony. This is how his ministry went. Just think about it for a moment. He says, "I'll tell you about serving God." He says, "Five times I received 39 stripes from the Jews." Five times he was beaten for his faith. He says, "Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And beside all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Now, here was a man not complaining, but he was simply saying, "Let me just share with you a little bit of how I have worked to earn your respect. Let me share with you a little bit of what I have experienced in my life and in my ministry. Beatings, imprisonment, near-death experiences, time and time and time again." And yet, of all the authors, humanly speaking, in the Bible, no one gave thanks more than the Apostle Paul. No one spoke about joy and rejoicing more than the Apostle Paul. He was a man whose life reflected the theme of gratitude. Now, why was he thankful? And why can we be thankful this morning? Well, let's notice, first of all, this morning, Paul was thankful for the work of the churches. He was thankful for what had been taking place in the lives of people. And as we consider this, I want you to just stop and just ponder a very significant part of this message before we read a verse of Scripture. I want you to ponder this fact, that if we live for ourselves and for our advancement, then we will not be a thankful people. But Paul, who had lived his life for others, and who had established churches, and who had led people to Christ, and who had sacrificed his body physically, getting the gospel out, Paul said, I have much to be thankful for. The most miserable people you will ever meet are people whose lives revolve around themselves. Now notice what he says in 1 Thessalonians 1:2. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. And so Paul was thankful in the first place for the testimony of the churches. If you're taking notes this morning, Paul said, I just want to give thanks for what God is doing in the churches. And in particular, he speaks of the church at Thessalonica. And he says, this is a church for which I give thanks. Because, first of all, it is a church that had a work of faith. Notice that in verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. And I want to thank God this morning for the work of faith at Lancaster Baptist Church. I want to thank God this morning for churches that still believe God and believe that He's able and are reaching out to win souls and reaching out to help people in their everyday lives. This is a working faith. This is what James spoke about when he said, faith without works is dead. And Paul said, if I died tomorrow, there would be churches throughout the known world preaching the gospel and helping people. And he said, I'm glad I didn't live simply for myself, but I'm glad that I live for others and that my faith has been passed along. Hey, moms and dads, let's give our faith to our children. Let's be sure to witness during this holiday season so that our life would be an investment in the lives of others, and so that their testimony would bring glory to God. Paul said they had a work of faith. You know, I find some people are afraid to talk about faith, and they'll get around unsaved relatives, and they'll get around people from work, and they get a little bashful about it. And in this politically correct environment in which we live, we feel like we have to be so very careful about what we say. It's like the fourth grade girl that recently wrote about the beginnings of the Thanksgiving holiday. And in her school paper, she wrote, the pilgrims came here seeking freedom of you know what. And when they landed, they gave thanks to you know who. And it's because of them that we can worship every Sunday, you know where. Listen, at this Thanksgiving season, let's not be afraid to say, give thanks to the Lord. Worship the Lord in His house. And let's not be afraid of the fact that our nation was established by people who had a work of faith, and that this country was founded by pilgrims who were not coming here just to get what they could get, but they were truly coming here to establish a place where they could worship God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm simply saying Paul stepped back and he said, yes, I've been beaten a time or two. I've been shipwrecked a time or two, but I'm glad that as a result of that labor, there are people who know God today. There are people who are living for God today. Yesterday with some folks here from our church, I was sharing some reasons to be thankful. And I was sharing with them that as we crossed the 18-year mark here at Lancaster Baptist Church, that we were able to find record decision cards filled out on this property, in these buildings, of more than 17,000 people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. More than 8,000 people who have identified with Christ in believers' baptism. And I simply say to this church, we ought to thank God that we have a small part in getting the gospel to this community and that others are coming to Christ as their Savior. Paul said, I'm glad for that work of faith you've seen. Notice what else he says there in verse number 3. He says, and your labor of love. He said, I'm thankful that I've invested my life with people who have a love that labors. I'm thankful that there are churches where God's love is being spread abroad. The love of Christ is constraining them to serve. Notice not only the work of faith and the labor of love, but in verse number 3 he says, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see this morning from God's Word that when you are a Christian, you always can have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be patient through every trial knowing that God is working all things for your good. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, Jeremiah said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." God said, "I know the thoughts I have for you, and they don't end up too shabby either." God says, "My thoughts for you are good thoughts. My plans for you are good plans." And I want to tell you something this morning. God is good to His children, and God loves His children, and God's plan for your life is a good plan. I remember a dear member of our church, Lori Thomason. She had served on our staff for some time. She was a godly woman. She was a woman who cared for others and cared for souls. And one day, as she had been to the doctor, she came and shared with me the diagnosis of cancer that had been found in her body. And then I recall as she went through treatment after treatment and finally to the hospital for a long season, going to visit Mrs. Thomason, whose hair had long since fallen away from chemo, whose body had long since become filled with the cancer. And I remember as I spoke to Lori, Lori said to me, she said, "Pastor, I don't know why God has chosen me to go through this trial. I don't understand the exact reason." She said, "I pray for my healing." But she said, "Pastor, pray with me this way." She said, "Pray that whatever the outcome, that my God would be glorified through my life. Pray that God would get glory." And then she said, "Pastor, no matter what happens in my life, I know that God has already given me the victory." Now, why could a woman say that? Why could a young married woman say, "I already have the victory"? She knew that in Christ she had hope. She knew that in Christ she could patiently endure a trial. She knew that in Christ she could glorify God. Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And on more than one occasion, Lori Thomason said to me, "Pastor, pray that I'll be thankful for this trial. Pray that I can always give thanks for this trial." Oh, this morning, I'm simply saying to you that there is a testimony in this church. There is testimony in churches across this land and around this world to the fact that God is not dead, that God is still alive and working. There are people of faith still serving. There is love still in action. There is hope still abounding. And Paul said, "If my life ended today, I want to thank God for the fact that there are churches that are alive and well and serving the Lord Jesus Christ." The testimony of the churches caused him to be thankful. But not only that, the tenderness of the churches caused him to be thankful. I want you to think about the tenderness of the church. And I want you to ask this question: am I a tender Christian today, or am I an old grizzled veteran? Am I a tender Christian today? I don't know about you, but come this Thanksgiving morning, I don't want a hard piece of turkey. Come this Thanksgiving, I want that tender, juicy piece. Well, I tell you what, nothing rougher than having to try to get a chainsaw out to get through your meat. Amen? But how's your tenderness toward God? Look what the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Here Paul is again thanking God. He says, "This is why I want to thank God. Because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now listen very carefully. When the Apostle Paul wrote these epistles, he was inspired of the Holy Spirit of God. They were not Paul's words, they were God's words. And Paul the Apostle was the human instrument. And he sent the letter to the church at Thessalonica. And when they received the letter, they received it not as the word of men, but as it was in truth the very word of God. Now in the late 1800s, there was a phenomenon that swept through Europe, and especially in Germany, and it was called rationalism, German rationalism. And from it came what was known as the school of high criticism. And as this criticism of the scriptures entered into the seminaries of America, Darwin came up with his theory of evolution, and others began to question the word of God. And they said, "This is the word of men." And because of that, there was a great movement which began in the early 1900s called fundamentalism. And it was a movement whereby men stood up and they preached the fundamentals of the Word of God. And they said, thus saith the Lord. And you see, my friend, you and I need to be like the church at Thessalonica, not viewing the Bible this morning as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the very Word of God. It is a God-breathed book. And Paul the Apostle said, I'm thankful that there are tender Christians who receive the Word of God, and they receive it as it is in truth, the Word of God. My friend, as a pastor, I'm either going to have to get up on Sunday morning with the chainsaw and pray somehow to pry through and get through, or you're just going to readily receive the Word of God because you have a tender heart. Paul said, I want to give thanks that we have churches that are tender towards the things of God. But notice secondly, Paul's gratitude, his thankfulness was for the witness of God's provision. Turn, if you would, to the book of Philippians as we look at Paul's thankfulness this morning. Philippians chapter 1. He says, first of all, I am thankful for the work of the churches. Secondly, I am thankful for the witness of God's provision. And I want to repeat this. If you were to die today, I pray that you could say, my children, my grandchildren, my Sunday school class, I've invested my life. I'm not leaving the work of my life in a building or in an aircraft or in some construction. I have invested myself into people so that they will go forward serving God. Paul said, I'm thankful for the work of the churches. Secondly, I'm thankful for the witness of God's provision. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Notice, I thank my God. Let's say that together. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Now notice Paul's gratitude, first of all. He was thankful that God provides in all circumstances. He says, God provides in all circumstances. And Paul can testify to this fact that God will provide even during the trials. And Paul was thankful that God provided for him even when he was going through trials. Now let me share with you why that's significant. Because in the book of Philippians, we read about thankfulness and joy more than any other book in the New Testament. And yet when Paul the Apostle wrote these words, he was in prison in Rome, and he was there in a dark, damp holding tank, undoubtedly moisture, rats, difficulty, and he's sitting there, and instead of feeling sorry for himself, instead of getting bitter and saying, you know what I need? I need a preacher's union. I've got to organize this labor. I've got to get someone. I need an attorney. Why? This isn't what I ever wanted for. Paul sat there and he said, I thank my God. How many of you would say that was the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart? He had a thankful heart. He said, I'm thankful even when I'm going through trials. What an amazing faith. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was thankful while enduring trials. He was thankful when requesting help. Even when he was requesting for help, he said, look, though I'm in need, I still want to give thanks for what I have. How many of you realize that if you have a jar at home with coins in it, if you have a little bowl in your bedroom with coins in it, that you are amongst the top 8th percentile of the most wealthy people in the world today. Just by having that little extra, it's a sign of the fact that we have been blessed. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4 and notice Paul's thankfulness even when he had need himself. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Paul says here, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Remember, he's writing that from a prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Notice verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That means be full of worry for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, what are the next two words? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He said, hey, you've got some problems. You have need for payments. You have need for some help at work. You're bringing your request to God. That's good. Don't worry. Bring it to God in prayer. But when you bring it to God in prayer, do it with thanksgiving. In other words, Paul would say, Lord, I pray that you'd let me out of this prison. I pray that you'd give me freedom from this damp, dark place. But Lord, even while I ask you for that, I just want to thank you that in my heart there is light and warmth and salvation. I want to thank you, Lord, that while some things aren't right, the most important things are already taken care of. Let your request be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Now, sometimes if we're not careful, we can have that foxhole religion where we get God in the emergency situation. I heard about an atheist who was walking through the forest admiring all the accidents that evolution had produced. And as he was walking along, he said, "Wow, what majestic trees, what a beautiful river, what wonderful animals." He was enjoying all of these things. And as he was walking alongside the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes nearby him. And he looked over his shoulder and he saw a giant 7 foot tall grizzly bear. He began to run. He ran as fast as he could. And yet as he turned around, the grizzly was gaining ground and gaining ground. Finally, the man, as he was running, tripped over a log and he fell down. And as he turned around, that grizzly was standing there with his right paw raised up in the air, reaching for him, ready to pounce upon him. Just at that moment, the atheist cried out, "Oh God!" Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent. The river stopped moving. A bright light shone upon the man from the skies. A loud voice was heard. "You deny my existence for all these years. You teach others that I do not exist. You even credit creation to a cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you in this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer?" The atheist looked directly into the light. He said, "I would feel like a hypocrite to become a Christian at this moment. Perhaps you could make the bear a Christian." "Very well," said the voice. The light went out. The river ran. The sound of the forest resumed. The bear dropped his right paw, dropped his left paw, put them both together, bowed his head and said, "Lord, for the food that I'm about to receive, I am very thankful." You know, that's how a lot of people are. You know, when they get to the tough time, they're thankful. But let's be thankful in everything, the Bible says. In everything, give thanks. God provides in every circumstance. And God provides for every single need of our lives. Paul said, you know, "Though I've been banished at times, and though I've been imprisoned and shipwrecked, yet God always took care of me." Notice in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, he says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Paul the apostle was a missionary. And he said to the church at Philippi, "Your care for me has flourished again." Thank God that Philippi was a missionary giving church. They were a church that supported the missionary. They sent to his necessity time and time again. And because of their faithfulness, Paul could say, "God has provided for me over and over and over again." And I just think this morning and throughout this week, even if you're with unsaved relatives, you ought to look for every opportunity to say, "My God is a good God. My God has taken care of me." I heard of a pastor that went to the hospital a few months ago visiting some folks with cancer. There was a young girl there named Christina. She was 8 years old. She had cancer of the nervous system. It had affected her body drastically. And yet, when someone said to Christina, "What would you like to have for your birthday, Christina?" Christina said, "Oh, I don't know. I have 2 sticker books and a brand new baby doll. I have everything." Somehow in our lives, we live with such an expectant entitlement type of an attitude that we fail to realize how good God has already been. Paul said, "I know I've been shipwrecked. I know I've been in jail. But I just want to give thanks to God that there's a whole bunch of churches with the real faith. I just want to give thanks to God that He provided for my need once and again, time and again. God was good to me." And notice thirdly this morning, Paul says, "I want to thank God for His way of atonement." I want to thank God for His way of atonement. Now, here was the overwhelming reason that Paul was thankful. And that is, first of all, that Paul said, "Let's give thanks for God's sacrificial atonement." Give thanks for His sacrifice. Notice in your notes there, Hebrews 13 and verse 12. "Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have here no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Someone would say, well, Paul, why are you giving thanks in nearly every book that is credited to you? Why do we hear this thanks all of the time? And the Apostle Paul would say that because of the fact that there was a time when the Holy Ghost came upon a young virgin by the name of Mary, and that she was great with child, and that child was born, and that child was 100% God and 100% man. And that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, lived a perfectly sinless life and went to an old rugged cross, and there he hung on that cross and he shed his blood for the atonement of my sin, that by faith I might be sanctified unto God, that I might be born again into the family of God, that I might have my sins washed away. And because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, Paul the Apostle said, I just want to give thanks that God loved me so much and that Jesus loved me so much that he would shed his blood on the cross for my sin. I want to give thanks for his sacrifice. But not only that, Paul says, I want to give thanks for his soon return. I just want to give thanks for the fact not only have my sins been washed away, but one day soon I'll see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. My friend, every true born again Christian will see Jesus one day. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch verse number 57? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Pastor, why are you so wound up? And why was Paul always so wound up and so thankful and so excited about the things of God? He was thankful because he had victory. Not only were his sins forgiven, but he had this hope that one day this mortal would put on immortality. One day this body that was dying and decaying would receive a brand new resurrected body. And I'm simply saying this morning, thank God for the shedding of the blood, but thank God that on that third morning, after Jesus Christ cried, Father, forgive them, after Jesus Christ gave up the ghost and said, it is finished, that three mornings later, when Mary went to that tomb, she saw the stone was rolled away, and inside the tomb there was no body of Jesus, just a napkin laid neatly in the corner. And she recognized that day that up from the grave Jesus Christ had come, and that sin could not hold him there, and the devil could not hold him there. No one could hold him there, for he said, take this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. I'm glad this morning that I serve a risen Savior. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, I am looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, every Christian will see Jesus one day, and every Christian will be with Jesus for all of eternity. Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 5, verse chapter 1 and verse 3, we give thanks to God. There he is again. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. My friend, I don't know everything about heaven, but I know there are streets of gold. I know there are gates of pearl. I know there's no tears. There's no heartache. I know there are no gangs. I know there's no graffiti. I know there's no war. I know there's no bloodshed. I know a lot of things about heaven this morning. I know that James will be there, and John will be there, and Paul will be there, and Joshua will be there. I know my grandmother and grandfather will be there. I'm looking forward to seeing all of them. But the greatest thing about heaven is this: I'm going to see Jesus there. Oh, I'm telling you, for all of eternity will sing praise to Him and will come to Him and say, Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross. Jesus, thank You for shedding Your blood for me. I was a reprobate. I was a sinner. I deserve to split hell wide open. But because of Your love, I'm here today. And for 1,000 years, we'll sing with the angels, praise be to God. And I'm telling you, friend, you might as well start thanking Him now, because you'll be thanking Him then. You might as well get used to it today. And you might as well spend this week and spend this year and spend your life giving thanks to God. Oh, if you're here this morning and you've been born again by the blood of Jesus, you've got something to be thankful for. If you're here this morning and you do not know that your sins are forgiven, and you do not know that you are on your way to heaven, my friend, you can know that. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Do you know that you are saved? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven? Can you be thankful for the fact that you know that you're on your way to heaven? And if you don't know it, I pray this morning you'll settle that issue. Settle that issue and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank You for this time to read and to preach from Thy holy word. Thank You for the Apostle Paul who just decided to be thankful. Lord, I pray today that You touch every heart and life in this room.